In my first year of seminary, many, many, many years ago, my class began each day with meditation. And it was, we gathered in a small chapel, and the spiritual director of the seminary led us through this meditation. It was a meditation that was based on what's referred to as the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, sometimes referred to as Ignatian spirituality. And within that Ignatian spirituality, there's a particular way of meditating, and I'll talk a little bit about that. St. Ignatius was a convert to Christianity, and he and a few others began a community within the church referred to as the Society of Jesus, or really known more commonly as the Jesuits, if you've ever heard of the Jesuits. It was a community that was really focused on social justice and also real scholarship. And during the time of the Reformation, actually the Church of Rome called upon the Jesuits to be part of what was oftentimes referred to in history as the Counter-Reformation. There was the Reformation, and there the Counter-Reformation. The Church of Rome trying to define and refine and redefine itself in the midst of this time of history. The Council of Trent was one of the church's councils that tried to help do that redefining and defining. But the Jesuits had a lot to do with that. They were called upon by the church. Known for their scholarship in my time and in our lifetimes, the Jesuits are known to be some of the most progressive thinkers in the church today, perhaps in the world today and in church life. Scholarly work, brilliant folks. In many ways, their thinking was a big part of the Second Vatican Council in the early 1960s, which was a real turning point in church life, not only within the Roman Catholic Church, but throughout denominations. There was a lot going on at that time of change, and the Jesuits were a part of that. My own education is greatly influenced by the Jesuits. When I was in seminary, you'll hear we clergy, as we share homilies sometimes, we mention people that we've studied. One of the theologians that I had to read a lot of was Karl Rahner, who was a Jesuit, had a lot to do with my early thinking. Also, besides my Master's of Divinity, I went to graduate school at Fordham University later on and earned a Master's in Religious Studies, and that was pretty much all Jesuits. So I got Jesuits in my DNA. They've kind of helped me in my thinking and my theology. They're an interesting and unique group. Just as an aside, you know, Pope Francis, the present Bishop of Rome, is a Jesuit. Someone of scholarship, no doubt, and also someone about social justice. And if you read the reports going on in the Church of Rome, there's a lot of things he's suggesting that are changed in response to that kind of social justice kind of concerns. But out of this Jesuit tradition came a very deep spirituality that has this idea of meditation as part of it. And what this meditation is to enter into the reading of Scripture. Take a section of a gospel reading, a story of Jesus, an episode from Jesus' life, and almost approach it in a childlike way. In other words, this isn't about scholarly study of Scriptures, and there's room for that, need for that, but this is more of a entering into the story and letting it feed and nourish you, almost the way a child would read a story, with imagination, with wonder. It's suggested in this kind of spirituality, this meditation, that you kind of become somebody in the story. Enter into the story. Become one of the characters. Now, when I was in my first year of seminary, we did what was oftentimes referred to as a led meditation. We all gathered together, and the spiritual director would sort of guide us through thoughts, thinking about things and suggesting things. One can also do this on one's own in a quiet, private way. Find a quiet space, a quiet time. In seminary, we did it very early in the morning. Some of my classmates found it to be a rather restful time. That's another way of putting it. They would sometimes fall asleep. We'd nudge each other if someone started snoring. One of my classmates, I've shared this before, I think, the meditation was over, and he had rested very well during that time, and was alarmed. We were all getting up, and he walked out of the room and walked into a radiator in the hallway and hit the radiator and then fell on the floor and made this loud thud. And from that day on, he was known as Thud. And to this day, we still refer to him as Thud from that moment. But sometimes it's good to rest in the Lord. But if you're entering into this meditation, you can do this yourself as well. Enter into, find a quiet time if you can in our hectic lives, a quiet space, a quiet time. Pick a piece of scripture and enter into it. Be part of the story. I'll give you an example of the gospel reading from today. It's the story of the Good Samaritan, a story that we're probably familiar with, maybe not. Depends where our upbringing is and being exposed to these stories. But in this story, for instance, it starts, let me give you an example. It starts, you know, there was a road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and this man is walking on this road. And so in this meditative process, you would sort of sit there and kind of just, what did the road look like? What time of day was it? Was it early? Was it late? Was it a sunny day, a cloudy day? Were there other people on this road? Was it a busy road? Was it a rural area? Were there people coming and going each way? Was it hot? Was it cold? You know what I'm saying? Just, you almost smell and hear, touch and see images in your own mind as you enter into this process. And by doing that, you really become part of the story. And I occasionally do this in times when I'm trying to prepare for a homily, try to enter into a gospel reading in that kind of a way. The story of the Good Samaritan most commonly is interpreted to be about the Good Samaritan. You know, this Good Samaritan did a good thing, and we should imitate that. The word Good Samaritan has even become part of our language. You know, you can read the newspapers. A few weeks ago, I was reading a newspaper article. I think it was about someone who broke down at the side of a road, and someone helped, and they said, "Hey, we're a really good Samaritan, a good Samaritan." You know, we use it in our language, and that's a good thing. It's good to be a good Samaritan. But when we read that story, I think sometimes we look at the Good Samaritan as perhaps what you might want to think of as the Christ figure. You know, that this represents Christ. And we should be like that. We should be like that. I'd like to just suggest another twist to this story. I mean, that's one way of understanding the story. I mean, these stories have lots of layers. And you can look at these stories from different lenses and continue to be fed and nourished. That's why there's such a richness to the scriptures. Some spiritual writers have suggested this, and I really reflected on it this past week. Perhaps the Good Samaritan is not so much the Christ figure in that story. Perhaps it's the man by the side of the road. Try to enter into that man's experience. Try to be that person in this story. Walking down the road. And what was that walk like? Did he see people he was fearful of? Did he feel comfortable walking on this road? The story says that he was robbed, beaten up, and left by the side of the road. Imagine him lying there, feeling a sense of defeat, a sense of fear, a sense of loneliness. I would imagine a sense, are there other people coming down this road who are going to continue this beating me up? You know, is anyone going to help me? Can I get out of this? This feeling of, this overwhelming feeling. I'd like to suggest that's the Christ figure who's calling for response from others. And notice how the story goes, that the story is that a religious leader, a priest of the Jewish tradition, comes by. And notice what it says is, it doesn't say he just passes him by, it says he crosses to the other side of the road to pass him by. Maybe he was busy about many religious things. Didn't have time to see what was there. It says a Levite passes by, again, crosses to the other side of the road to avoid. Now, a Levite and this man by the side of the road, and that story that Jesus told, they would have been from similar backgrounds. They were from a Jewish tradition. They would have seen the world pretty much the same way. They would have lived their lives in the same way as the Jewish leader, the priest. They would have seen the world in the same kind of way. And they pass him by. It's puzzling. But then comes along a Samaritan. It's hard for us to really feel and taste that. But the man by the side of the road and Samaritans despised each other. There was no way those people were going to talk to each other. And yet the story is that those who see everything the same way pass him by. For some reason, they just don't see it. But this man with whom there is conflict and different worldviews and different ways of dealing with things, He stops and reaches out to this, I would suggest, this Christ figure. This man by the side of the road, calls this Samaritan to conversion, to transformation. Not in the world of ideas, but in the world of relationship. This Samaritan and this man by the side of the road enter into relationship with each other, even though they probably wouldn't have initially trusted each other or agreed with each other. But the Samaritan puts this man on his animal, as it says in our reading, and takes him to a safe place. I wonder what the conversation was like as they went on that animal. There's a whole thing you can meditate on. As they went to this safe place, what was the conversation like? It's interesting, I think, that what this reading is calling us to is relationship. Even with those with whom we may not see things the same way. And remember what helps Jesus tell the story is that someone came to Jesus and said, how do I earn eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the law, you know the teachings, you know all the things. You know what to think. And the man says, I've done all that. But Jesus then tells this story, which is not so much about what we all think, but how we enter into relationship. And he says to the man, who's the neighbor? Well, the person who entered into that relationship. And Jesus says, go and do the same. Offer that thought to you today. Perhaps that man by the side of the road is the Christ figure, calling folks to conversion, calling folks to transformation. And it's interesting that the story shows that 2/3 of the people who go by don't respond. Only 1/3, that one Samaritan does. And both of them are changed. Both of them are transformed in their lives. So as we gather here today, I invite us to be fed, to be nourished here at the table. And perhaps we're called, as we leave here today, as we walk down this road, as we walk out those doors, to look to the side of the road, to look to the side of our lives, perhaps people we don't always see, perhaps people we don't always agree with, perhaps people we don't always see eye to eye, maybe we have different worldviews, perhaps there's people who are suffering or hurting, oppressed, people who are hungry, people who are starving, people who have lost work, people who are in terrible times in their lives. Can we enter into relationship and let that be the Christ figure in our life and respond and be transformed? So let us go forth this day. Take a peek to the side of the road. See what we see. And see Christ in our midst, calling us to newness of life and transformation.